of understanding of the ministry of William Branham. The lack of understanding of the ministry of William Branham. I'll make a little comment on that. Then, I'll say a few things. On my way, driving to the church, one of our precious sisters here called me and was telling me the discussion she had this morning with the general overseer of Mountain of Fire and Miracles, Dr. Olukoya. And she was a member of that church before her eyes of understanding were opened. Amen. Hallelujah. Her eyes of understanding were opened. Just like I made a statement that this morning, before I came to the altar now, I had to send for her. And I was telling her, the estate you have reached now in your Christian life, when you receive this message, it takes you beyond the religion of identifying with a church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. What the entire message does to every Christian is, it takes away the spirit of church. Hallelujah. It suddenly brings you to a realm where you are now following a revelation rather than a church. And unless you catch that, amen, you unnecessarily get yourself troubled. And Dr. Lukoya told my precious sister, who is concerned because she was a serious member of that church, and has to let him know what she thinks he doesn't know. And how do you think such a man will tell you he doesn't know anything about the ministry of William Branham? He knows. There is none of them, none of these GOs, reverend doctors, that don't know about the ministry of William Branham. All of them, they know. Amen. And this morning, the man is trying to convince her she is in error following the ministry of William Branham. He tells her he knows about the Branham people. He knows. And tries to make her feel that he even knows about this church. But the evidence that he doesn't know about this church is a comment that he made. He says that our members go to him, to them for deliverance. I said, and yet we don't believe in deliverance. That's why I say he doesn't know about this place. It's possible because he may have met some of those followers of the message, those funny groups of people. It's possible that he may have met some of them who may not believe in it or something like that. Because there are inter-message churches that don't believe in deliverance. But certainly, also I say next time you talk to her, to him, tell him whether he knows about Bride Assembly, because his own members, they come here for deliverance. They come here every Tuesday for deliverance. Praise the Lord. And there is no big deal. The fact that his members come here for deliverance does not mean we are more anointed than his place. That's not the meaning. Praise the Lord. If it is not for what the devil has done, the church is supposed to be one. And anywhere you know, that there is a brother with a gift that can help you, you should feel free to go there. You should feel free to go to any church, if not for what the devil has done and scattered us to denominational fragments. Anyway, they fall under three categories, the groups of people that speak against the ministry of William Branham. The first group is, they say, they are the ones re-echoing what Robert Lyodon wrote in his book entitled God's Generals. I've read it, and I have one or two copies of that book. And Robert Lyodon said, in summary, that God mightily used that man, William Branham. But after some time, he left his calling and started going into some erroneous teachings. And so God got angry and struck him. And that is the commonest thing you hear the denominational people saying concerning the ministry of William Branham. The second group of people, I read it, nobody then say, because I don't say what then say. I can't stand here with microphone and say something that the whole world will hear me, because it's being recorded, and say something that I am not sure of. That one was written in a book by Matthew Ashimolowo. I read it. And he said, in the area of admonishment, in a paragraph in one of his books, he said that somebody, you know, you end your destiny halfway, like William Branham ended halfway and ended miserably. The third one is another one that Dr. Luke Coyer wrote. I read it in a book some few years ago. And he wrote there, he said, William Branham died a drunk. He said that he went and got drunk and drove in a drunken state now and had accident and died. A drunkard. Praise the Lord. Amen. I asked my sister, he said, in addition to that, he said, William Branham he admitted, according to what he told my sister this morning, he admitted, he said, that William Branham in this age, on earth, here in this age, he said, no man has been used in the realm that God used William Branham. He described it, the area of the anointing, they hold him highly. They know no human being till now has operated in the realm that man has operated. But later on, he vied off, according to what he told my sister today. He vied off and started going into some wrong teachings. And from there deviated and got himself, became a drunkard. And died by accident, a drunk. Amen. I asked my sister, did you ask him which wrong doctrine he taught? And he said, for instance, he said that the sin that took place in the Garden of Eden is sex, fornication. He said, it is wrong. There's nothing like that. And my sister was trying to tell him that, no, but it is there now, it is clear. He is now wanting now to use his academic profile to intimidate her by saying, remember, he's not a reverend doctor, he's not a theological doctor. No, he's a medical doctor, so an academic, what do you call it? He actually has a PhD degree. I think in one of the sciences also. So he is actually a doctorate degree holder. And he said he has done a lot of research. Hallelujah. He has done a lot of research. The church concerning the mystery of salvation, it is not research, it is revelation. Hallelujah. It is revelation. Oh, glory be to God. Peter said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to me." Hallelujah. You know, I will continue to thank you. You are the one that gave me those two books. About 7 years ago, the one Ashimolo wrote and the one Olukoya wrote, she gave them to me. Praise the Lord. It is not research, it is revelation. And unless God gives you revelation, open 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. How be it verse 6. I'm reading verse 6. How be it we speak. Oh, glory be to God. Now, let me go up a little bit. Let me go up a little bit. Let me go to verse 2. Let me read from verse 1. Let me pick it from verse 1. Get the picture from verse 1. This is Apostle Paul speaking. And Apostle Paul was also a doctorate degree holder. Apostle Paul was a doctorate degree holder in theology. This is what he said. And brethren, when I came to you, am I correct? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, that is where I'm going, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. How be it, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Perfect is matured, spiritual maturity. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. This type of wisdom is not the wisdom of philosophers. So you may have a doctorate of philosophy degree. The wisdom we preach concerning salvation is not the wisdom of that type of line. Philosophers. No. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Is in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. They would not have, okay, let me finish that statement. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God, and it is God alone, not man, but God has revealed them unto us by Bible school. He revealed them to us by your pastor. He revealed it to us by who? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the research Olukoya we have must be a research that is going to be by God's own Spirit. Amen. Don't let anybody intimidate you with whatever certificates they have. Paul had those certificates too. And a point for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, he counted them what? Dung. Use the right language because we're in the church. If not, I would have called it shit. Cow dung is cow shit. He counted it as feces. Worthless. Because worldly wisdom has no bearing with salvation. It is their wisdom that took them away from God. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Church, the books are there. Personal testimonies of William Branham, they are there for everybody to see. But before I go far, I asked my sister, I said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I said, is it the life history of William Branham that you are following or the revelation he brought forth? I didn't meet the man. So how can I be following him? It is what he preached. It is the revelations he brought forth that I am following. The man died, I think, 24th December 1965. You see? That time, many people sitting there, they never born us. Now me, they don't born me that time. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, but that is the truth. So you cannot say we are following the man, William Branham. We are following his teachings, his revelations. Amen. And please, who told you to rate the righteousness standing of a man by the death that he died? Tell me how Jesus Christ died. He died the death of a criminal. He was convicted. He was brought before the highest judge of the land. And he was found guilty of blasphemy. He was found guilty of lies. He was a liar. That is what they found him guilty of. The Lord of glory himself came. And religious people were the ones that condemned him and nailed him to the cross on Calvary. Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus Christ said, if they did it to me, your master, they will do it also to you. The same spirit that is in the Pharisees and Sadducees is the same spirit that is on now. The spirits never die. Anywhere the light, true light appear, religious people are too religious to identify it. Instead of identifying with it, they will try to kill it. Praise the Lord. How did William Branham die? He just finished a program. He was on his way going. And I told my sister today, I said, see how humble such a mighty man of God with following all over the world. And at the age of 56, he was still driving by himself. He was driving his car. I think he was on his way to Arizona also in the U.S. there. And in the night, his wife was by his side and his son, Joseph Branham, who is still alive now, was behind. He was driving. And suddenly in the night, a truck driver that was drunk was coming with one headlamp. And anybody could have thought otherwise. The man left his own lane and came to the lane of William Branham. And certainly, the eye that would have been in the side there would have been the eye that was off. And so William Branham may have thought it is maybe one motorbike passing, a big truck. All of a sudden, it had a bang. And from that accident, he died. He didn't die immediately. He died in the hospital. And there is eyewitness. His son. The wife too. Because they were all squeezed in the vehicle. The wife, the son was behind. And the son was, this thing I'm telling you is there. You can read it. Or it's there. It's everywhere. Internet has made it now easy. Anybody that is ignorant, you are willingly ignorant. Everything is in the internet. Immediately we entered the church, and I told my wife to bring her laptop immediately. I said, go and Google this for me, how William Branham died. And she Googled it and see all written there, several of them. And all of them saying the same thing. He died through an accident with a drunk truck driver. And yet, Olukoya said he did a research. Which research? Where did you go to find out? There is a ministry called the Voice of God Recording in America. Everything that you need to know concerning him, you go there. In Jeffersonville. In the state of Indiana. Here and in every country, they have the country office. In Nigeria here, they are somewhere up at Denny Jones at Ikeja. Every material, every information you need to know, every sermon, everything you need to know is there. Where did he do his own research? Hallelujah. Who knows Gordon Lindsay? Who has ever read any book by Gordon Lindsay? Wave your hand. Every true Pentecostal, they know Gordon Lindsay. He has written so many books on the Holy Ghost and things like that, the gifts of the Spirit. Gordon Lindsay was in the days of William Branham. They were those that were in the publicity department of his ministry. The Voice of Healing magazine, they call it Voice of Healing magazine, that they were using to document and, you know, all the mighty miracles and the campaigns, the crusades he was holding. Gordon Lindsay was among. He wrote a book, and this is the title of the book. He titled it William Branham, A Man Sent from God. A Man Sent from God. He's a Pentecostal man. Let me read what he said. Just some clips. This is what he said in his introduction. Let me just read the first paragraph there. He said, the story of the life of William Branham is so out of this world and beyond the ordinary that were there not available a host of infallible proofs which document and attest its authenticity, one might well be excused for considering it far-fetched and incredible. But the facts are so generally known and of such a nature that they can be so easily verified by any sincere investigator, that they must stand as God's witness to his willingness and purpose to reveal himself again to men as he once did in the days of the prophets and the apostles. The story of this prophet's life, for he is a prophet, though we infrequently use the term, indeed witnesses to the fact that Bible days are here again. This is a Pentecostal juggernaut writing this. This is what he said. In another paragraph, on page 12, he says, it is true that Brother Branham lives in a different world than that of the average Christian. In the affairs of this world, he is admittedly unsophisticated and is not prepared to match wits with those who too often seek selfish and subtle advantage of him. On the other hand, in that world in which he truly lives, his spiritual senses have been quickened to a point that has enabled him to move further out into God and has caused him to be more conscious of heavenly realities than perhaps any man now living. It is this amazing spiritual sensitivity that has caused his ministry to be so revolutionary. He indeed brings no new doctrine to the church, but rather a fresh revelation of the reality of the power of God and the intrinsic truth of the miraculous in the scriptures. Let me read another paragraph on page 15. Up. He said, there was another reason why God chose William Branham for the great task of calling his people to unity of spirit. The Lord knew that he would never attempt to start another organization of his own. God knew it. Why? Because every other people that rose up, they formed their own denominational group. He said God knew that this man will never form. See, this book was written while William Branham was still alive. This book was written while William Branham was still alive. At that time, he said he knew that he will never. William Branham made a statement. He said that one evidence that you will know that this move of God, this move is of God. William Branham said that this move will never be denominated. He died in 1965. Till now, where is our headquarters? Who is our GO? No, I'm only trying to tell you that those who understood him, you see why God chose him. Because others, after some time, they will begin to read ideas into it with a view to keep the people together and begin to form some organizations around it. But God looked for a man that he will use, that will bring out the people and make them look up to the Holy Ghost as their general overseer. He found a man in that man, William Branham. Because he resisted every advice. See, even now, as small that we are now, see the pressures on us to go and open branches. But I told them, this thing we preach cannot be denominated. Brother Assembly can never have a branch anywhere. The revelation we have is beyond that level. It's beyond that level. Praise the Lord. So how will people get to hear what you people are saying? How did you get to hear you? The same way you get to hear it, God will cause all his people to hear it. Let me read on. Hallelujah. The Lord knew that he would never attempt to start another organization of his own. This he could have done. But the sole suggestions, he never gave one moment of consideration. His message was not to bring something new to the church, which will involve the creation of a new organization. That was not his vision or desire. Rather, it was that the people of God who had separated themselves one from the other will now recognize the fact that they were of one body and become united in spirit in anticipation of the return of their Lord Jesus Christ. I read another portion again on page 30. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, several years past concerning his life history. The boy was about 7 years of age. That's William Brown. Having just entered school in a rural section a few miles north of Jeffersonville, it was at this time that God first spoke to the lad. We will let Brother Abraham tell the story of this peculiar visitation in his own words. So now he's quoting William Abraham. This is William Abraham saying now, "I was on my way one afternoon to carry water to the house from the barn, which was about a city block away. About halfway between the house and the barn stood an old poplar tree. I had just got home from school and the other boys were going out to the pond to fish. I was crying to go, but Dad said that I had to pack water. I stopped under the tree to rest when all of a sudden I heard a sound as of the wind blowing the leaves. I knew that it wasn't blowing any other place. It seemed to be a very still afternoon. I stepped back from the tree and noticed that in a certain place about the size of a barrel, the wind seemed to be blowing through the tree leaves. Then there came a voice saying, 'Never drink, smoke, or defile your body in any way, for I have a work for you to do when you get older.'" And somebody said he did research and he has not seen this very thing here. "It frightened me so that I ran home, but at that time I never told anyone about it. Crying and running to the house, I fell into the arms of my mother, who thought I had been bitten by a snake. I told her that I was just scared, so she put me to bed and was going to call a doctor, thinking I was suffering from nervous shock. I never did go by that tree anymore. I would tow down the other side of the garden to avoid it. I believe that the angel of God was in that tree. And in later years, I was to meet him face to face and talk with him." He met that angel face to face and talked with him. And that was the day that great commission was given to him. Now let me read on. "Because of God's strange dealing with me, I could never drink or smoke. One day, I was going to the river with my dad and another man. They offered me a drink of whiskey. And because I wanted to find favor with the man so that he would let me use his boat, I started to take the drink. But as positively as I am speaking today, I heard that sound like the blowing of the leaves. Looking around and seeing no sign of the wind blowing, I put the bottle to my lips again. When I heard the same noise, only louder, fear swept over me as before. I dropped the bottle and ran away, while my own dad called me a sissy because his father was a drunk. And he's saying his son not drinking. He was a yabby. He said, 'You sissy, you're a sissy, you can't drink.' Oh, how that hurt that his father would call him a sissy. His friends too used to call him sissy. Later on, I was called a sissy by my youthful girlfriend when I told her I didn't smoke. Angered by her mockery, I took the cigarette and I was going to smoke it anyway when I was arrested by that familiar sound causing me to throw down the cigarette and leave the scene crying because I could not be like other people while the jeers of the crowd rang in my ears." They will be laughing at him. "We are smoking, you can't smoke, you sissy." But they didn't know what was going on around him. There was always that peculiar feeling like someone standing near me trying to say something to me, and especially when I was alone. No one seemed to understand me at all. The boys that I associated with will have nothing to do with me because I wouldn't drink and smoke. And all the girls went to dances of which I wouldn't partake either. That is to go to party. So it seemed that all through my life, I was just a black sheep, knowing no one who understood me and not even understanding myself." Unquote. And somebody did a research. With his doctorate degree. And he could not see what another preacher said. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. T.L. Osborne. Who knows about T.L. Osborne? How many of you know T.L. Osborne? The funeral of even at his death, before I go to Godolins, T.L. Osborne, even at his death, the testimony is still there. He died. I mean, he was at the scene of the accident, and his small son behind was crying, because plus himself and the mother, they were all jammed, squeezed in that head-on collision. And he was shouting, "Mommy, Daddy, Mommy, Daddy." And then he opened his mouth and asked Joseph, he said, "Can you lift my hand and place it on Mommy?" Because Mommy was unconscious. He told him, "Can you lift my hand and place it on Mommy?" Joseph, his son, lifted his hand and placed it on the mother. The mother came back to life. And lived many more years after, before she died. They took the body to the hospital, emergency ward, emergency section of the hospital. When he entered that, they took his body into that room. The testimony is there for all those so-called researchers to find out. Everybody that was in that room was instantly healed. Praise the Lord. I read the funeral sermon of T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne was the one that preached on the day of the funeral. All the Pentecostal and all the ministers, Chukano ministers, all over the world, they assembled there. And T.L. Osborne was the one that preached. And I remember I read the message, the sermon, and a statement he made. Hallelujah. He made it clear. He said, "Let it be known that this man that is lying here on this casket," he said, "he lived Christ, but we preach Christ." He testified to the fact that throughout his life, he was an exemplary figure, Christian figure. Because he lived what he preached. And he made that statement, T.L. Osborne. He said, "Let the whole world know that Jesus Christ, one more time, that the world has the privilege to see the Lord Jesus Christ passing this earth again through the ministry of this man." It is there. Their own very testimony. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like I told my sister this morning, I said, how can the denominational person ever accept this message? No GO will accept this message because it will make him, oh glory be to God, it will make him to dismantle his structure. She asked him, "But the woman forbids woman pastor, but you make your wife a pastor." And she's, you know, that is what revelation does. You see, one small girl here is challenging a reverend doctor. That is what revelation does. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, and then he's answering her. He said, "Look, you are missing it. No man can make anybody a pastor. Only God can make somebody a pastor." Can you see what they are saying? That is what they are trying to tell you, is it is God that told me to make her a pastor. So it is God that ordained her. But Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, he said, "If any man preaches any other gospel contrary to what we have preached, let that man be blessed." Let that man be blessed. Let the man be accursed. voice that you hear must be judged, confirmed that it is from God. How do you know that the voice you are hearing through your gift, how do you know it is from God? It's not everything you hear and you say, ah, God don't talk. It's not every voice you hear, you say, hey, God don't talk. The Bible says Satan disguises as an angel of light. Those of you who hear voice, you are in a more dangerous position than those of us when they hear. That's the truth. Because he will come disguised in the same voice you normally hear. My daughter, I have ordained to use you to take over from your daughter, your husband. The anointing on him is coming upon you now. You will take over from your husband. Then he will jump and go and meet the husband. I have ordained your wife to be your assistant. Go and ordain her and show her the light. So they will take off. Will you say, you didn't hear a voice? They had a voice. But because they don't know Bible, that voice is an unscriptural voice. That's the mistake people make. Sister, you're a gifted sister. How can you be seeing vision of a man that is already married as your husband? But people are seeing it. Praise the Lord. How can you, senior prophet Igbo, how can you see vision of a woman that is legally married to a man and you are telling her, the voice is telling me that man you marry is not your wife, so your husband, pack out of his house. Ha! When the Bible forbids divorce. Which voice is talking to you, most senior prophet Igbo? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, what I'm trying to tell you this afternoon is to let you know, stop wasting your time talking to some of these people. They are reapers. They will never listen to you because they have a ministry. They have a ministry to fulfill. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They have a ministry to fulfill. And no matter how you do it, if you like, go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh that Egypt, God said, you should leave these people to go. Leave them to go. Leave them to go. You are the chief advisor of Pharaoh. Leave them to go. Go to them. When you leave, finish. God will still harden Pharaoh's heart. He will not let them go. Amen. What is going on is ordained by God himself. They will never see it. For Olukoya to accept the entire message, the ministry of William Branham. Wait, why did they say? What are those things that he said William Branham has preached wrongly? Number one, Trinity. That God is one, not three. Number two, that women preachers is abomination, is forbidden. Woman minister, woman pastor. The Bible is against it. He preached against denominationalism, whereby organization of a church with a headquarters and branches, posting and you know what they do. He preached against it. He told the women to stop wearing trousers. He told the women to stop cutting their hair. He told the women to dress like Christian women, to take a position as being subject to a man. He taught the mystery in this age. He told us who the Antichrist is. Those are the major messages he preached. And that is what they say he went into error. He told us the reason why you must be born again. Why you must be born again is because the natural birth has been contaminated by the sin of fornication between that animal, serpent, and that woman, Eve. And then how every human being now has an animal nature crossed in us, which Satan anoints and makes us act like animals instead of human beings. That's why you must be born again. They say it's wrong. It is apple they ate. It's apple. Hallelujah. And we are still eating apple. God does not condemn us for eating apple. The thing that happened in the Garden of Eden, yes, they ate it. The fruit they ate that time, they are still eating it now. People are still eating it now, and God still hates it. It's a fornication. And with all their research, this simple revelation, they cannot get it. With all their research, Olukoya is still baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost in obedience to Matthew 28 verse 19. With all the research, he has no research enough to know who the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is. And he has a Bible school. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. And through victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. Through jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's original. Oh, the original, the original sin,
the original is all I believe.
The Son of Man
is living,
the seven seals
will be opened,
the original,
the original.
God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. For the original. Hallelujah.
Oh. The original sin. The original.
Oh.
All I believe.
The Son of Man,
the
seven seals,
the original.
Yes, sir. Listen, listen, listen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the Father, prayer, and Pentecost, which lives evidently. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah! One of them. Oh, I am one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I am one of them.
mountain. Oh,
I'm so glad.
Let me hear the sisters. One of them.
Say it if you are one of them. Say, sister. Oh, yes. Let me hear the brothers. Oh, one of them. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Now, listen. Though these people may not land and be no boast of worldly fame, they have all received their willing baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm telling them, but far away, his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah! Oh, yes, Lord!
I am one of them.
Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I am one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Be seated. God bless you. Be seated. Be seated if you are one of them. Hallelujah. One of them. These musicians, you are not one of them, oh. You cannot be one of them and play the type of music I heard you were playing in Kenneth's reception yesterday. You can never be one of them and still that type of music is still in your fingers. You need a dose of the Holy Ghost. It's true now. Hallelujah. You know the difference between a crow and a dove? A crow, hallelujah, eats both dead food and fresh food. Like vulture. Anything, anyone. When in a fella music, they sabi and well. Peter Touch, they sabi and well. Amen. I was in this church one day. I heard them, the chorus is param, tararam, ding, 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 ding. I want you to be my lover. They were singing it. These people sang it, oh, they sang it. Amen. Every worldly music must depart from you in the name of Jesus. The gift you have is to glorify God. And please, stop inviting our members to any occasion you have that is not a Christian gathering. Because they will think that what you are doing is supported from Bride Assembly. And all the ministers who were in that program yesterday and did not stop you people from singing those nonsense songs, shame on them. So shame on them. Shame. Shame. It's a shame. I'm telling you, it's a very shameful thing. These are people who have no backbone. They're just sitting down there, just going, don't know Barry. It's true. There are many people that are not in this message, are in this church. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. It's time for you to wear your bridal train. You expect believers in this church. We dress like these worldly people. Go and buy a wedding gown. Exposing your body and then you're dancing and coming. It's been going on here. Bridal train. Yesterday we had to drive some people away. Of a wedding of minister. You are not one of them, oh. All of you concerned, you are not one of them. Lie, we are not one with you. We are not one with you. Some of you are just here to disgrace this ministry. But you will end up disgracing yourself because everybody knows what I stand for. That's the truth. No, I'm not part of that nonsense. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The time is too short for that type of Christianity. There was a revelation a sister got. I want you people to listen to Sheila. Sheila, let's see, let's hear the revelation that Sister Favor got. It was a revelation she got. Some of us are playing with the eternal destination. Now we explain that and then we close. Hallelujah. Then she let's say on the way
for those revelations when you are one of the intercessors of the church. Yes. And you are one of the intercessors of the church. Yes. And you are one of the intercessors of the church. Yes. And God is bound to speak to us through some of you that are standing in the gap for the church. But those revelations that you have, they are not just ordinary revelations, they are prophetic revelations. We want the church to know what those revelations were. Can you tell us when and what those revelations received? What is exactly it was?
Well, at the beginning, I don't know what it means. Sometimes I saw some writings on the wall. So, I don't know. So, one day, I just saw one, like, Daloy Datoy. I don't know the meaning. That day I said that God should give me the meaning of that one. Mm. Then immediately at the few minutes the Daloy Datoy appeared again at the up Daloy Datoy. The meaning at the down was the Lord my God. Mm. Then after that day another one came as Agatoka Michiki, but I don't understand that one. And then another one again came as the Book of Chronicles of Carbuncles.
So is it a voice or is written like that on a screen?
That one is written on a wall.
On a wall.
Writing on a wall.
What is written on the wall? What was the one on the wall?
The languages. The languages. That's those writings of another language I don't understand.
And you didn't understand, yes.
Yes, that's that one.
The handwriting on the wall.
The handwriting on the wall. Mm. Okay, that is after that one. Then I slept one day after our ministration on Monday. Then I just slept. It's like just a little sleep. I just saw a man. The man that before it was a group of people, so they gathered and they were like seven thunders. I had seven thunders, and their pastor was standing by them, and the pastor just said that we are waiting for Pastor Moses to come and preach to them. They were clapping hands and they were waiting.
Seven thunders, brethren.
Mm. So they were waiting, and just a little while, I just saw a man by my side. The man just carries a Bible. That Bible is so beautiful. And they asked me, have I bought my own? I said, yes. He said, that one is not enough. Ooh. That I should go and buy more. That very soon I will know. This one, he asked me, how much that I bought my own? I said, it's 3,000. He said, this one that I bought 3,000, that very soon it will be 30,000. That it will be so scarce that I won't even see it. Even if I don't have money, I should go and sell my properties and buy more. Mm. I said, okay, I will not go and do that. That one just went away. Mm. And a little while after, some days later, all this the first one I saw was late last year, but this one is at the beginning of this year. Mm. But this one is about 2 weeks ago. This one I want to say now.
Okay.
It's about last week. I saw this sister Franca. She was very native. That native is Ankara. She dressed well with another brother, again. Mm-hmm. And some few people, about 30 of them, they gathered. Some are just under distraction and some of them are focused, they are waiting. Then I asked Sister Franca, now wow, international marriage, I didn't even tell me. The sister said, no, it's not traditional marriage. And she just want to open her mouth to say the next thing. I had a voice that said to me, that is not traditional marriage, that they are waiting for the ministry of John.
Mm.
And before then, I saw in that their front where they gather, there is a blackboard and a screen TV, a big screen TV.
A TV screen.
Yeah, a TV screen, and they are waiting for teacher to come. So I just said, okay. I said, what is ministry of John? I don't understand. I said, okay. Immediately I said that, I just woke up. So.
Amen.
That's the
amen.
And there's another one. I saw you as you were preaching. There's a very big bomb, like a box on the roof of the building. Then I was conscious because you were preaching of the Godhead. The message is interesting, but I was not focused because I was looking at the box. And that box is so big. If as you just say Jesus, the box will just do greedy. I say, hey, all of us will just die today. So I said, God, I bear apostle. So that very day, the bomb was not exploded, but we just immediately they shared the grace. I just ran outside. I said, God, I thank you for today. I just ran outside, and the following day, before we get to church, the bomb had exploded from here to Jisha Express. Mm. The whole building there was down and grounded. I say, God, and in my own house was affected. I know that I have a house there too, and my own house was affected. I say, God, what will I do? The minute I said, oh, Lord, I just saw a TV by my side. I was trying to own that TV, but I don't know where the power is. I just saw Prophet Dayo. Prophet Dayo just appeared and just touched something, and the TV just on, but not showing any picture. And as I was just complaining concerning my house, I just had another voice that said to me, I will not build on another man's structure.
Oh.
So I said, okay, that's how I just wake up.
Amen. Thank you very much for this revelation.
God bless you, church. Let's clap our hands for that revelation. Praise the Lord. That William Branham said that a dream rightly interpreted, he said, is prophecy. This is a serious message. When she told me, I said, no, let her come and let the church eat.